Oh my. Christ is risen. Let's see, really know. Christos Anesti. Alma Sia Kam. Oh, we're getting better. Getting better. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, 8 days have passed since the resurrection, and the church again finds herself with the apostles in the upper room. Today's gospel lesson reports two different appearances of the risen Christ. The first appearance, St. John tells us, of the risen Christ was on resurrection day itself in the evening. However, the apostle Thomas was not present. When the other 10 apostles tell him that they had seen the risen Lord, Thomas understandably expresses skepticism. He said, quote, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of those nails, and my hand into his side, I will not believe." And that doubt of Thomas has actually been a great benefit to the church, to you and me. Thomas is a realist. He knew and he saw Jesus of Nazareth on the cross, and he saw him die. He saw those nails in his hands. He saw the nail in his feet. And he saw that soldier pierce his side with a lance. So Thomas has no time for imagination, for wise tales, for some kind of ghost, some kind of phantasm. No, he knew. No, the Jesus I knew, the one I walked with, the one I ate with, the flesh, I saw nails in his hands. So don't come to give me your stories. I will not believe until I see the very Jesus who I saw die on the cross with those very marks. And that same sentiment has continued to resound for 2,000 years. How many people have made a similar statement as Thomas? If I see, if I touch, I will believe. For many, this is the way to certain knowledge. And therefore, Jesus, the Christ, seems to ask, frankly, what is irrational and impossible. He said, quote, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." End of quote. Is it possible not to see and to still believe? And to believe in what? Christianity says not only believe in a God that you can't see, that you can't touch, that you really can't feel. Christianity goes one step further. Believe in the resurrection of the dead. From whence does the faith come? In other words, can you and I force ourselves to believe? Can you and I force someone else to believe? Can you and I come up with the right syllogism, the right logical argument, and say, see, this is why it's reasonable to believe in Jesus of Nazareth, risen from the dead? No. There is no secret magic formula. There's no perfect argument to make people believe. And thus, over the course of 2,000 years, millions have abandoned the impossible call. And they've returned back to their state of clear affirmations, simple truths as they think, to things that they can see and touch and feel and prove. And yet modern man, this rational being of the last 500 years, has he really found any more certitude and security than people of faith for the last 2,000 years? Modern man has his empirical science, has all this technology, has all these quote-unquote proven philosophies and theories and ideologies. Things he can see, things he can touch, things he can demonstrate. Indeed, indeed, we can verify with touch. We can verify what we see in some ways. But let's be honest. Has modern man in the last 500 years arrived any closer to the final truth? And the answer is no. Modern man, this truth eludes him just as much now as it did 500 years ago. In fact, let's be honest. What has modern man and his scientific answers brought? What have these proven, quote-unquote proven, ideologies and certainties rendered? Well, an honest assessment of the 20th and 21st centuries shows the murder of mass millions of people. Not only that, but in the last 100 years, there's been a dramatic increase in the rates of loneliness, depression, addictions, and suicides. Don't take my word for it. I'll tell you what the science actually says. The Journal of the American Medical Association in 1992 reported this. In the industrialized world, the rates of severe, often incapacitating depression has increased with every generation since 1915. A study in 2011 by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that between 1998 and 2008, the rate of antidepressant usage by all age groups in the United States increased 400%. 11% of Americans aged 12 years and older are now taking antidepressants. And that was in 2008. It's only gone up since. According to the magazine Clinical Psychology Review, since the 1930s, anxiety and depression among young people in America has only steadily increased. To live the motto, if I see, I will believe, has not decreased sadness. It's only increased it. These people of the last 500 years, the modern man, we have seen, we have examined, we have touched, we have calculated, we have analyzed, we have developed in our laboratories the most advanced theories of happiness. And the result? Little to no satisfactory happiness on earth. Instead, what do we keep hearing? A desire for more sacrifices, more sufferings, and engage in more strife, and engage in more competition. And yet, in the midst of this sea of despondency, the sea of sadness, the sea of melancholia, the church proclaims the Easter proclamation. And as it resounds, it does truly invoke in the human heart authentic joy and true peace. Where something seems unverifiable, unseen, and untouched, really does have an impact on the human heart. You experienced it last week. Last Sunday, the church told us to stand outside in darkness. We had lantern candles lit. And at a certain point, the doors were opened, and we walked into a bright church and candles lit. And the church was telling us, come, come touch, come see, come verify. You who are weak in faith. And 1 week later, here we are. And the church gives us the image, the person of St. Thomas, the doubter, the unbeliever. In fact, the church calls this Sunday Thomas Sunday. Thomas, though, he's just not one man who lived 2,000 years ago. He's you, and he's me. And he represents every human being. And Christ had compassion on him. Christ came to him and said, quote, bring here your finger and see my hands. And bring here your hand and put it into my side. And no longer be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas fell to his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. It was the end of pride. It was the end of self-satisfaction. It was the end of self-assurance. And only when all that came crashing down was Thomas ready to receive and experience authentic joy and true peace. Today, the church presents to you and me two persons, Jesus the Christ and Thomas the Apostle. One emanates joy and peace, the other, because of his doubt, agony. One offers light, the other is about darkness. What do you choose? What do you desire? What do you see? This is the season to exclaim, not only with our voices, but with our entire being, my Lord and my God. Christ is risen.